Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's begin by turning our awareness within, temporarily turning away from what we think we perceive without, and instead turning within to that quiet, still space that we all share. We don't have to try to find anything. We simply can just have willingness to find that peace, to be led to that peace within. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. I'm taking a few mindful breaths, and with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. So we are beginning our reading tonight. In the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 311. The subheading is The Guarantee of Heaven. In the original edition, it is Chapter 13, Part 5. Also called The Guarantee of Heaven. It's page 262 in the print copy. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 266, paragraph number 3. And it begins with, when we are all united in heaven. All right, so let's begin. The Guarantee of Heaven. When we are all united in heaven, you will value nothing that you value here. For nothing that you value here, you value wholly, and so you do not value it at all. Value is where God placed it, and the value of what God esteems cannot be judged, for it has been established. It is wholly of value. It can merely be appreciated or not. To value it partially is not to know its value. In heaven is everything God valued and nothing else. Heaven is perfectly unambiguous. Everything is clear and bright and calls forth one response. There is no darkness and there is no contrast. There is no variation. There is no interruption. There is a sense of peace so deep that no dream in this world has ever brought even a dim imagining of what it is. So we'll pause there and see if anything came up for anyone. I love in this whole section, I just feel, as we'll be reading tonight, it just, as I was reading this before the call, just feeling a lot of love and gratitude in my heart, because I feel like this is just describing a state that, you know, we can't really comprehend here right now, but it's just very reassuring to me.
It kind of, the book by Dr. Eben Alexander,
I was thinking
it's kind of reminding me of that. I think that's,
I agree.
Yeah,
it makes
he talks
me think,
about that.
Yeah, it makes me think just where it's saying heaven is perfectly unambiguous, it's clear and bright, calls forth one response, there's no darkness, no contrast, no variation, no interruption, and a sense of peace so deep that no dream in this world can even bring about a dim imagining of what it is. I was thinking of that as well, Paula, because I was just thinking of his descriptions of just that constant song, that constant hum, or, you know, not hum.
He talks about the brightness in the darkness.
Right. That it was, I remember him saying, like an inky blackness, but yet there was this light there. And so it's,
yes,
again, it's not really anything that we can comprehend because we see through our body's eyes right now, but To me, I almost can resonate with that by closing my eyes and just feeling that love radiating from my heart. That's I think, the best that I can sort of grasp, you know, his description of his experience.
When he talks about the angelic realm, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you go right there with him.
Right. I also like the sentence, too, where it says, value is where God placed it, and the value of what God esteems cannot be judged, for it has been established. Like, it just is, and it can't be judged. It just is. It's wholly of value, and we can either appreciate it or not. So either we bring our awareness, our focus to the Holy Spirit to have that experience to appreciate what is, or we're blocking it and not appreciating it.
It's what we are in truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. So let's keep reading. Nothing in this world can give this peace, for nothing in this world is wholly shared. Perfect perception can merely show you what is capable of being wholly shared. It can also show you the results of sharing, while you still remember the results of not sharing. The Holy Spirit points quietly to the contrast, knowing that you will finally let him judge the difference for you, allowing him to demonstrate which must be true. He has perfect faith in your final judgment because he knows that he will make it for you. To doubt this would be to doubt that his mission will be fulfilled. How is this possible when his mission is of God? I love that sentence. He has perfect faith in your final judgment because he knows he will make it for you. That makes me think of that final sentence in our page 90 or page, is it 111? It's one something in the Sparkle edition. I still, page 116. It's page 116. I wrote it down. It reminds me of the final line in that prayer. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me.
Yeah.
So it's that our stepping back and letting the Holy Spirit make the decision for us. So that sentence that we just read really stands out for me, that it's saying it again. The Holy Spirit will make that decision for us when we let him. I also like to, I have much more of appreciation now. You know, the Course, where it says in this paragraph that we just read, the Holy Spirit points quietly to the contrast, knowing that you will finally let him judge the difference for you, allowing him to demonstrate which must be true. The Course talks about how contrasts are necessary teaching aids here, and I feel like I never fully appreciated that until more recently, with just really understanding or learning or getting a grasp on that, you know, the contrast between when you feel that deep sense of peace and love and when you make even the subtlest choice to judge and lose that peace. So these contrasts are great for us right now because we're learning what it is that truly, truly makes us happy and what it is that doesn't, which is quite opposite from what the world teaches. That was the sentence. It was prior to the one that I read. It can show you the results of sharing while you still remember the results of not sharing. That's that contrast. Let's read another paragraph. You whose minds are darkened by doubt and guilt, remember this. God gave the Holy Spirit to you and gave him the mission to remove all doubt and every trace of guilt that his dear son had laid upon himself. It is impossible that this mission fail. Nothing can prevent what God would have accomplished from accomplishment. Whatever your reactions to the Holy Spirit's voice may be, whatever voice you choose to listen to, whatever strange thoughts may occur to you, God's will is done. You will find the peace in which he has established you because he does not change his mind. He is invariable as the peace in which you dwell and of which the Holy Spirit reminds you. So again, there's just that reassurance. It's impossible that this mission fail. In the Sparkle edition, the word impossible is in all caps. Anybody have anything coming up so far?
That's just helping me so much right now, just in general with everything. Because, like, I'm just sort of in this phase where one chapter of my life is closing and another one is sort of opening, but I have really good feeling intuitively, but I'm, you know, I've learned from other experiences not to sort of forecast or create into the future, but just to stay in the present fully and just embrace whatever comes. And it's not that my learned self or my small mind doesn't want to take me to the places of, well, how are you going to pay for things or what's going to happen or, you know, all the things that the small mind likes to do. And I'm just constantly giving those thoughts over to Spirit and going, you know, if this is meant to be, meaning, you know, in my case, if I'm meant to go to grad school, it will happen. Nothing will make it fail. So I just have to keep going, coming to that space in my mind.
Yeah.
And so it's just really helpful. Because I'm at this space where, like, I have ideas about where I'd like to go, but it's ultimately Spirit's decision. And so I'm taking all of the steps, but really I'm at the same time allowing myself to be guided. That's all I can say, really.
yeah, that's beautiful. And it is so reassuring. I love how you said that. You know, you're taking the steps that are just moving you forward while still just recognizing that ultimately it's Spirit's decision. And so that's a beautiful place, although, you know, like you said, the transition of sort of one chapter coming to an end and another chapter opening, although that can feel very unnerving to us, you know, speaking from my own experience, just that change being a little bit, whatever, anxiety-provoking or a little stressful or just, you know, just a general sort of feeling of unknown. I love just what you said and how this sentence here, it's impossible that this mission fail. There's, we cannot be anywhere but exactly where we're supposed to be for our greatest learning. We actually don't have to worry about a thing.
Well, and it's really about everything that the Course teaches about being able to trust in what your eyes can't see with the body, right? And I've been here in this place many, many times, and it's always worked out. So it's funny, you know, that we even allow the small mind to take us to those places even a little bit. But I'm just like, okay, I must have some stuff around money still. So here you go, Spirit. Look at it. Like, so it's coming up. But I mean, I just had a beautiful experience just to segue out of this a little bit and give like a more tangible example that just happened in my life, like on Friday. So every year I get my dog's teeth cleaned, and her breed is such, apparently on the level of form, she has teeth that are, the vet calls it, like, they're prone to losing their teeth. It's just part of the breed. I don't know why. But I get her teeth cleaned every year, you know, to keep her as healthy as possible. And so this time, you know, I was probably as calm as I've ever been taking her, you know, because I did the whole calling in the angels before dropping her off at the vet and didn't think about it at all. Like, I was sitting in one of my classes and I got a message that I had to give them a call. And so I stepped out of class and called the vet, and they were like, well, we have to remove 6 of her teeth. And I felt myself going to this place of, oh my God, like, what haven't I done for my dog that I should have done? You know, like that instant kind of guilt place, like, what could I have done better so that my dog wasn't losing her teeth? And then it took me a few hours, I have to be honest. I wasn't able to snap out of it right away, but I was constantly handing it over to Spirit and going, like, obviously I still have some attachment to my dog on the level of form, so I'm giving this to you now. And what happened was so beautiful. So it was like I was talking to the angels about it, and I got this download that my soul had made an agreement with the soul of my dog that this was going to take place. She was going to lose these 6 teeth. And it's all, you know, a learning experience in that I can either use the experience to love myself, give myself compassion, or I can use the experience to go the other way, make myself guilty. And when I made that connection, I started to see all of the blessings that were lined up in because every year I save up the money to get her teeth done. It's because it can be quite a hefty bill. And what happened was, now remember, I called in Holy Spirit and the angels before she went into the vet. So when the vet called me, they were saying they needed to remove these teeth, and they gave me a quote of a specific cost, when really I probably was given like a savings of about $300 to $500 off of my bill, because my vet knows me, and you know, they just did that without my asking. The bill was printed off at 111, and for people who don't know what that means, in angel numbers, it means keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts are manifesting very quickly. And so I am convinced that because I was willing to send Emily into the vet with all of those angels, that's what inspired the vet to give me that amount of savings off of her bill. And that is also why she got the level of care that she got, and she was given, you know, the right food that she needed to be given, and all of these other things that just fell into place. And so when I was in that space of blaming myself or thinking that I should have done something better, you know, I couldn't see all of those things. But once I gave it over to Spirit, I got the invoice back later, spoke to the vet on the phone, and, you know, they made me aware of the savings and, you know, everything that they did for Emily. So the reason why I'm sharing this is that I'm not unique. All it takes is our willingness to call Spirit into all of these situations, and miracles result. That's just what happens.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that story.
That's wonderful.
It really is. I'm just also, the part that also stands out to me too is your willingness, rather than to get stuck with that thought of what did I not do, you know, to prevent this from happening. Instead, you said you received that download that, you know, this was part of your agreement that you and your, you know, and your doggy were going to go through together. And that really resonated with me because, you know, the Course talks about how this is all done already. You know, the script, the ego script is written. We're sort of collapsing it with miracles as we turn to the Holy Spirit, but there are things that, you know, are that seem to occur in the world that it might seem like we could have done something, but it's just how things are. And so that willingness to just not personalize it or own it, I don't know what the right word exactly is, but
it was really getting that download that stopped my whole cycle of guilt and blame, because up until then I was still stuck in that cycle, and it was really that allowed me to get out of it. And dogs are, and animals in general, are just such an amazing example on the level of form of staying in the present moment. Like, they don't know past or future. And so for my dog, there's no difference between having the 6 teeth and not having the 6 teeth. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's just as happy without them as she is with them. So for me, it's just, like, it's showing me that I still had an attachment to her body on some level. And so that's really powerful to learn from, because, you know, there will come a time when she will transition and leave the body. That's just, you know, everything is temporary here. But that doesn't mean that her spirit and her soul is gone. So it was just a great, great lesson that she was able to give me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I tell you, I think that is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing thing that you just talked about. And how, I mean, I have 2 cats, and believe me, I am so attached to them, and I try not to be, because I agree with you, you know. But dogs, oh my God, it's like having a child. I mean, they really get into your heart and soul. So
yeah.
God bless you. That, yeah, you're strong. Oh,
it's spirit. It's the spirit in me.
Spirit
that,
is strong in you.
Yeah.
And I just feel called to say this again. I feel like I said this recently, but it's not ever the Holy Spirit that's doing the lesson to us, that, you know, that it might seem to be like an unpleasant form, that the lesson is the miracle, meaning the lesson that you learned is because you were willing to choose the miracle instead. That's the lesson there from something that was written from the ego script, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so. And I think it's also important to recognize that I didn't get there immediately. Like, I allowed myself to get, you know, feel the feelings and go through all that spiral of guilt and doubt and fear and all of that. And it doesn't, you know, experiencing those things doesn't mean that you're bad.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that that's what you're experiencing in the moment. And I spent so much of my life prior to A Course in Miracles trying to stuff that part of myself down and pretend that it wasn't there, and it just makes it worse. So
I absolutely had a situation this weekend where I was trying to just paint a happy face over the situation, and, you know, I was turning it over to the Holy Spirit, but still hanging on to it. And finally, I just let it rip. I had a bloody fit right here in my house. My guests look at me like, oh, my God. And, you know, I opened the book, and with that, went right to a paragraph that absolutely uprighted the whole situation, and I was able to move on. But I'm telling you, until I had that release and allowed myself to go there, I just don't think I could have gotten the answer as quickly.
Yeah.
You really need to face it to erase it, I guess.
Yeah, that is so true. That's awesome, Paula. I'm going to write that down.
I'm reading that too.
I've heard that. I think it's an Alcoholic Anonymous or something, but it's you got to face it to erase it. No, Marianne Williamson said it in one of her books. You got to face it to erase it.
That's a good one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know what, sometimes it's just so uncomfortable to have to
Yeah, we don't want, we don't like the unpleasant stuff. We don't like feeling icky. That's part of
our experience.
I'll
just keep really busy, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes,
but it doesn't work.
Right, right. That's
Corinne,
right.
This is Angela.
Yeah. Hi, Angela.
Thank you, guys. I thank you all for sharing what you've shared so far. And Deidre, I really enjoy listening to what you've shared, especially when there's a choice in seeing it, differently. And instead of going with guilt, you chose differently. My lesson, what I wanted to share, and I was apprehensive to share this, but I wanted to share is I'm asking to know the Holy Spirit and to trust the Holy Spirit. And I had a situation at work where I guess in as little words as possible, had something to do with my boss and trying to communicate and keep something out of his way so that he can do what he needs to do. Space-wise, and I don't know, it just kind of exploded, and he went off on it. So I didn't know what to do. I walked away, and what I did is I reacted from an ego standpoint. So I went and I talked to somebody, and she's like, you know, you should let him have it with all force. I said, no, you don't get it. That's not the answer here. And she also, you know, whatever she studies, she knows where I come from. So I let it be, and I said, you know, I don't know what to do with this. But what I did do is you talk about page 90 or page 116, because I said, you know what, Holy Spirit, I need help with this. And I didn't know what to do. And I'm still struggling to trust it. Okay, that's why I failed to bring it up. But I'm like, okay, how am I going to know? If always my ego wants to be in the background, you know, like live, and no matter what happens, the ego wants to say, no, I'm going to take over. No, I'm going to take over. So long story short, I didn't know exactly what to do. So after I prayed, I went to my boss and I said, I need to talk to you. And this is my boss's boss. And she said, I know what you're going to say already. We'll just call him Tom, okay? Tom came to me, and he said he was wrong, and he totally acted inappropriately, and I wasn't thinking any of this. I just didn't know how to handle this situation because it was explosive. And she said, you know, and she went on and on and on, and I don't know. All I can tell you, I don't want to go into the details, but I can tell you is I had tears in my eyes because I thought, oh, my God, I asked for help, and I never could tell you that I thought it was going to turn out this way, and it did. And so I was quite surprised. And the end of the story is that I got an apology from Tom, and I was quite shocked. And there's still in the back of my mind is my ego is still trying to act up, and even I can tell you, even over the weekend, excuse me, I know I went down the path of ego, and I thought, you know what? No, it's not her, and it's not him, and it's not this, and this is coming from my mind, and just trying to look at it and say, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm gonna choose a different way of going. So I'm sorry to bring the two things together, but I am learning to trust. But I'm looking for a feeling. I'm looking for to almost go deep within me to be able to say, okay. And I know the feeling would probably be peace, but I'm looking. I don't know. I'm looking for something else. I don't know why, but anyway. So that's my share. Sorry, guys.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
The first thing that really just jumps out at me is that, you know, with that situation at work and that apology and, you know, you're not expecting that the situation was going to turn out that way, just by your willingness to see it differently, to you know, sort of pause for a minute, it sounds like the situation really shifted. And so it's these little experiences that we get with those shifting situations. It doesn't always mean that the person ends up apologizing to us or, you know, that sort of thing, but those are the little things that are like the building blocks in our development of trust. And
okay.
they show up with our recognition, as you said, that we have that choice to see differently. So it's like another little, you know, building block in our foundation of trust that we're building. So I think it's beautiful that you're asking, you know, to want to know the Holy Spirit more and have, you know, an experience, a feeling of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like your ego is acting up in the background, don't worry about it. That's just what it does. You know, if we get upset that the ego is doing something, or, you know, that we should be, let me say it this way, if we get upset that we should be feeling another way or should be doing something differently, all we're doing is feeding that sense of strain. We're just feeding that that energy into the ego. And so it's just about saying, okay, this is what's happening right now, and even then being willing to see it differently, even if, you know, a shift doesn't even come right away. So that's what came forward for me.
Thank you.
Anybody have anything else that came forward that anyone feels moved to share for Angela or regarding anything?
I think that's a lot of times I see this happen. You know, it's those kind of situations, Angela, are incentive to keep asking. That is just miraculous what happened there, and natural.
Yes.
It's natural that should happen. That is lovely. And when the ego keeps count, it will, because then it gets really suspicious and vicious, you know, because then it knows it's losing its grip. And, you know, personally, I listen and just say, oh, well, I don't have to think this. Obviously, I'm not thinking with God. You're either thinking with God or you're thinking with that. So you don't have to think those thoughts.
Thank you. And, you know, I remember somebody saying on a call, it was a while ago, I don't know, maybe it was DJ, I don't remember who it was, these are not my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the ego starts,
yeah, it's true,
you know?
It's true.
That's not my voice.
Right, we're either thinking with God or we're not thinking at all.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and see, Paula, of course, is really strong with that, and I learned from her, too. And mine was related to work, too. Very similar, Angela. I think we all get that. Like, mine was this, I guess I admit, I'm, you know, jealous of someone that got promoted, okay? And it was that same thing, the ego just tearing me apart, you know, all weekend. And I'm listening to you guys, and it's the same scenario.
Yeah.
So you got to be strong. And Paula, how do you do it?
I get mad as hell.
Now
that sounds like the exact opposite. But no, I want to feel good. I want to be happy. I want to feel relaxed. That's God's. That's God's will for us. If you're, you know, when you're not, what's that workbook lesson, Corinne?
God's will for me is perfect happiness.
God's will for me is perfect happiness. When you're not perfectly happy, you're not doing His will.
You're hallucinating. That's
you're
how you're
hallucinating.
Doing.
A wild, crazy hallucination.
You're really not doing anything.
And Brian,
it's a whole lot of nothing.
Going back to your example, you know, just owning that there's jealousy there. I had a situation this week with a class that I'm co-teaching in mindfulness, and somebody ended up dropping out because it wasn't what they expected that it was going to be, and they didn't expect that there would be sharing. They just thought it was going to be all practice, and there's a sharing component to it, and I just felt crushed that, you know, I took it very personally, and I just had to let myself feel those feelings. So if you let yourself feel the anger or the jealousy or whatever it is, and when you're ready, saying, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to see it different now, there's that breath of fresh air that then comes in, and the tides change, and things shift, and the peace comes back. But we can't, you know, it's not, we can't take that spiritual bypass and hop over the feelings that come up, because they're coming up, and so we need to let them do what they need to do.
So you don't fight them.
No.
Let it be.
Think about it. That fighting it is just feeding it. Fighting that feeling is feeding it with aversion, and it's just keeping it there. It's feeding the ego. So it's instead almost about learning how to become that sort of witness, that observer, that up here comes that tidal wave of fury or whatever that feeling may be again, and I'm going to sort of watch it come and go while, again, being willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit. So that's what came forward for me.
And I had one other real quick one. I won't, delay too long, but last weekend I had this horrible thing for a homeowner, right? Because it's been so cold, I've been, burning a lot of wood. So I ended up having a fire. I had a fire in my chimney. And for anyone who burns wood, it's the last thing you ever want. And the only point I'm making, you become totally helpless. You can't do anything. So I'm standing there for like 2 minutes watching this fire. I'm praying. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit. I did nothing. The Holy Spirit helped me, I got to tell you. So that's my message, that in form, I guess. Some, like an intense danger that caused my heart to like beat twice, two or three times as fast as normal. And you can't do anything. So everything turned out fine. But just an example.
Wow.
Yeah, so be careful.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, this is a practical course. It is. I had a situation this week with my alarm clock. I have to get up very early, and believe me, I don't wake up easily. And this alarm clock, when we changed the time, I took the battery out to change the battery, and I couldn't reset the clock because the PM wouldn't show up on the alarm. And I'm like really freaking out. It's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I really started praying about this, and I changed the battery a half a dozen times. I kept trying, and finally I said, Holy Spirit, just fix this thing for me. And it was fixed. It was fixed. I was like, oh, my God. It really felt like a miracle to me, because I just, until I said that, I really, really felt confident that that could happen.
Amazing.
I had more than just one situation, because I live alone, so sometimes, I get, when things go wrong, I start to panic, and every time I call the Holy Spirit into these situations, I get, just like you said.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah,
yep.
Awesome.
And Paula, you have, through the years of being in Course in Miracles groups with you, you have many stories. I remember one had to do with health issue, and another one had to do with your finger in the window. I don't know. I remember these things, so it's true. It is encouraging to know that Deidre said it well. I have nothing that anybody else, I have
that's
what
right.
Everybody else has, and so it's just encouraging to say, okay, and I was encouraged to say, a couple of weeks ago, just basically, I don't know who this Holy Spirit is. I don't know what to do here. I think, and I don't know. And so, Corinne, I just felt encouraged by everyone to just say, okay, just start asking. It's okay. Just keep going, So thank you.
Oh, beautiful. I just wanted to quickly share, Angela, what you just said about, Deidre's example earlier, and saying that what she's sharing is the same, we all have that. Jesus said that too. So just to take this, another step further and to take it back to the Course and to think, I mean, not that we've not been away from the Course, but Jesus says, I just found it. It is in chapter 1. There is nothing about me that you cannot attain. I have nothing that does not come from God. The difference between us now is that I have nothing else. This leaves me in a state which is only potential in you. So I love that, that the difference between us now is that I have nothing else. So Jesus has nothing between, you know, him and God. We now have these beliefs in our mind, these blocks, and that's, so we can attain, the Course is saying, we can attain exactly that same awakening, that same knowing that, that Jesus attained. Oh, how about, why don't we read another paragraph? Where are we? Okay. You will not remember change and shift in heaven. You have need of contrast only here. Contrast and differences are necessary teaching aids, for by them you learn what to avoid and what to seek. When you have learned this, you will find the answer that makes the need for any differences disappear. Truth comes of its own will unto its own. When you have learned that you belong to truth, it will flow lightly over you without a difference of any kind. For you will need no contrast to help you realize that this is what you want and only this. Fear not, the Holy Spirit will fail in what your Father has given him to do. The will of God can fail in nothing.
Boy, that's interesting, isn't it?
Which
Fear
part
not,
or which?
The Holy Spirit will fail in what your Father has given him to do. The will of God can fail in nothing. And I think that's one of the things. It's like I feel like a failure when, or a spiritual failure when I don't turn it over, or I'm not willing, or I get caught up. I feel like I failed. And that's because I'm coming from that small.
Absolutely. It's just the ego's voice saying, "Hey, you're not doing it right." And that's just the ego again throwing up another piece of bait to try to hook you back.
Right, right.
That's all it is. That's all.
Amen.
It is.
I've always found like the moment you have the like you know you got like a download from spirit, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like how I was sharing earlier about my dog is that spirit's not looking at how you reacted before at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like nothing that you felt and you were blaming yourself for before even registers. Mm. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It's almost like we needed that contrast, like the Course is talking about
yeah.
here, to get us to the point where we'd say, okay, Spirit, here you go.
Absolutely.
That's all it's for, really. Because we need something to let us know where we're at in terms of our spiritual barometer, I guess.
Right.
Such an amazing way to look at it.
I love the sentence, too, in the middle of this paragraph. Truth comes of its own will unto its own. When you have learned that you belong to truth, it will flow lightly over you without a difference of any kind. Truth comes of its own will unto its own. That truth, you know, it's in our minds, and when we come to know it, it's there. I love how it says, it flows lightly over you without a difference of any kind. You will need no contrast to help you realize that this is what you want and only this. So it's that contrast again, these examples, these building blocks of, you know, trust that we have these little experiences. We're learning what we want. We're learning what makes us happy. And that is, you know, when we are not listening to the voice of the ego. So we need that contrast right now. But ultimately, we won't need that contrast anymore.
So can I share another thing that seems to be coming up, and maybe this is just another ego ploy?
Sure.
because I think it is. I begin to ask questions again. It's like, you know, you will not remember change and shift in heaven. And so ego saying very loudly, okay, where's heaven and when will that happen and what's truth? And you know, honestly, I haven't experienced that kind of, I don't know, I just haven't experienced that, like starting to grab onto, like I see a lot of you guys are able to grab onto the sentences and really work with it, and I'm still in the, beginning stages of just, but that seems to, I'm in the beginning stages of working through the sentences, and yet, this is it possible that's an ego ploy? What's heaven? What's truth? You know, I'm beginning to ask.
Of course, yeah. Well, you know, on the one hand, it's great to ask the question of the Holy Spirit, because really nobody outside of us can truly answer that. I mean, we have the Course as a guide, but, you know, on the other hand, too, it's the ego that always wants to understand, always. Truth just knows. That part of our mind that knows is there, but we've just buried it. You know, we've layered tons of layers of fear on it. So on one sense, you know, it's the ego that always asks the questions and wants to know, and yet the Course says, it says somewhere, you know, one of the best questions that you can ask is, I believe it's something to the effect of, what am I? It says things like that a few different times. So we have to question. The Course is about questioning every belief that we hold, you know, even death, questioning that belief as well. So if we're going to question, just simply question with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because when you're questioning with the ego, the question is the problem.
Right.
But when you're questioning with the Holy Spirit, it's
beautiful.
Not a problem.
Beautiful.
And
perfect.
The answer comes in the most gentle and peaceful way.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Thank you.
That was awesome, Paula.
Yeah, there's another quick example, like related to learning, where if, like, sometimes you have constant doubting, I can't learn this, I can't learn this. And then you put it down and you don't go do something else. And then a question comes up, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, I did learn it. You know, that's just an example
yeah.
for me. And I'll think of things I'm trying to remember, and the ego keeps saying, nah, you can't do it. You're never going to do it. And then you just step away for a second, and all of a sudden, it's there. So this
and
ego.
And obvious.
Oh, and the ego is, like, constantly, like, going after you for no reason, and it's confusing you. Oh, brother.
I picture the ego just like hoisting up from nothingness these like gold shiny carrots of these negative thoughts or these like, you know, unanswerable questions, any anxiety, whatever it is. I just picture it hoisting these like pieces of bait up into our awareness for us to try to, so we'll grab onto them and, you know, keep listening to that voice, rather than the ego has to work really hard to cover up the love of God, which is what we are. It actually has to work really hard because that awareness is just beneath the surface for it to get so freaked out that we might abandon it.
And it's such a distraction, and it does it so well. That's the it's like trying to focus, like, what can I learn from this call tonight? And what's the ego doing? It's in there, oh, no, you can't learn anything. I learn every time you guys speak, I learn.
Mm.
And Angela, I'm with you 100%.
Same here, Brian.
Here.
Every time
yeah.
you speak, we learn from you. You
exactly.
really are a wonderful teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
I was going to
yeah,
say, Angela, too, because I heard you say that you feel like you're just at the beginning when you're asking all these questions, but I just wanted to share with you that I don't know if you're familiar with David Hoffmeister. He's a very, I would say, deepened individual in terms of what his understanding and his level of spiritual growth due to A Course in Miracles. And he was one that was constantly asking questions. So it's not bad to ask questions. Not that at all. In fact, it's probably helping you deepen your understanding of Holy Spirit. So,
well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I have to tell you, at the same time of doing this, I'm reading The End of Death by Nick Sanchez, and I just keep going, and I'm just like, I'm amazed because it's just where I'm at, and I'm like, oh, my God, I cannot believe, like, it could be simultaneously. You know, so it's all is good then. I guess that's Holy Spirit just trying to point me in the direction. Just, I don't know
Absolutely.
What else to say.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's read the next paragraph too. Have faith in only this one thing, and it will be sufficient. God wills you be in heaven, and nothing can keep you from it or it from you. Your wildest misperceptions, your weird imaginings, your blackest nightmares all mean nothing. They will not prevail against the peace God wills for you. The Holy Spirit will restore your sanity, because insanity is not the will of God. If that suffices him, it is enough for you. You will not keep what God would have removed because it breaks communication with you, with whom he would communicate. His voice will be heard. I feel compelled to keep reading the next paragraph. The communication link, which God himself placed within you, joining your minds with his, cannot be broken. You may believe you want it broken, and this belief does interfere with the deep peace in which the sweet and constant communication which God would share with you is known. Yet his channels of reaching out cannot be wholly closed and separated from him. Peace will be yours because his peace still flows to you from him whose will is peace. You have it now. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to use it, and by projecting it or extending it, to learn that it is in you. Extending it is the word that it was edited to in FIP, and I actually think that that's helpful because it's a more consistent use of projection being of the ego, but extension being of our true nature. So I'll just reread that last sentence. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to use it, and by extending it, to learn that it is in you. I love these paragraphs.
Yeah,
that's a perfect one to end on, too.
Right? I totally agree. I just, let this just soak in for a second, this first paragraph that we just read. Your wildest misperceptions, your weird imaginings, your blackest nightmares all mean nothing.
Nothing.
They will not prevail against the peace God wills for you.
Thank God.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank God.
That
is right now. That's not later. It's not happening later. We think it is because we have this weird idea of time in our minds, but if we can just tap in even for a moment that this is right now, all these nightmares, everything means nothing, and it doesn't prevail against the peace God wills for us right now because our sanity is already restored. Oh, and just to highlight, too, in the latter paragraph that we just read, the first sentence, the communication link which God himself placed within you, joining your minds with his, cannot be broken. That communication link is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It cannot be broken.
So you can, at the same time, you cannot connect with it, but it's not like it's always there.
Exactly.
It is always there, yes.
Okay.
Always. We can think that we want it broken or we can think that it's not there, but it is always there.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate everyone shares tonight. This is Carla.
Hi, hey, Carla.
Hey, family. I'm grateful to have heard the shares, and I had a very interesting day, but I'm going to keep it short because I know it's about time to wrap up, but I feel like I'm still struggling with an issue of grief that what you and I had spoken about, Corinne. So I feel like that it's almost like the rock that won't go anywhere. It's like every time it's like the rock has legs, you know. It's like I walk and then I turn around and I look and it's like right there, you know, like only 3 feet away from me, and everywhere I go, it's like right there. And it's like I'm struggling with the feeling of the grief and the anger. And then I'm also struggling with that, for some reason, I call this upon myself, and trying to see it correctly, you know, like responsible without blame. And I'm not doing so good with that. So it helps to just kind of hear how it shows up in different forms for other people. But I just feel like, well, I guess acceptance must be the key, huh? Because I'm struggling with that, and I don't like why I even feel the grief, and I don't want to feel it, but I don't know another way around it. I wish I could short-circuit it, but it doesn't seem like I can. It really is beyond what I really can do. It feels like that anyway. So.
Yeah. Oh, Carla, thank you for sharing. You know, the first, when you started talking, when you gave that image of that rock with legs, which is so funny, I picture, I think it's like an old Bugs Bunny cartoon of one of those Looney Tunes characters, like, you know, following somebody under a rock. Anyway, I got this just feeling that I was going to ask you the question, you probably want that rock to go away, right? You probably wish it would stop following you. What came up for me really strong, and I just I feel compelled to share this, is can you let that rock be there? Can you let it be there? Because like you, and you just answered that question when you said, you know, that you guess acceptance, you know, perhaps is going to play a role in moving through this. So,
thank you.
And you know, all the while being willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I'll just share too that just as you were talking and I was listening, what comes through really strong is there's a really big piece of self-forgiveness here. And I don't know any of the details of what's going on or coming up for you, but there's a really big piece of just being willing to love and forgive yourself. For anything that you think you might have done.
And that's the funny part, because what I thought I did was just love someone, and it doesn't appear that they could love me back. So I almost feel like I need to forgive myself for loving the wrong person. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's coming from inside you. It's not to do with the relationship per se. It's almost like there's a sense of self-blame that's coming up that doesn't need to be there. And so it's just having the willingness to look at that with Spirit and where the root of it comes. And then Spirit will help you to let that go.
And knowing that it's okay, you know, for if that takes time, it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
We might want it to happen quickly, we might have to give ourselves time to move through a process. So, so be gentle and kind with yourself.
Yeah.
Please.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Well, we're at that time, so big group hug.
This is another one that could go 2 hours.
Could this be 2 hours?
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Same.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.